But I want to talk a little bit about, we'll get ourselves rolling. We started last week with four kashas on different aspects of Pesach. To begin to get rolling a little bit with opening the Haggadah. I've thought in the past that it's probably professional malpractice for a Rebbe not to equip you with things to say at the Seder. The things to say at the Seder, which are things of substance. And things that are of age-appropriate substance. Maybe to take a look, over the next couple of weeks, we'll have a chance to look at the Seder sort of globally. If you look at Magid, you notice that there are instructions at the beginning. Magid gets started with content. Magid gets started right away with Sheilos Tshuvos. With the question of Manishtana, to which there are two answers. We mentioned earlier in the week, Gemara the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, Daf Kuf Tes Zayin and Alfim Sachim, whether the official storytelling is the dramatic contrast, the dramatic storytelling, Maskev, Benos, Messiah, Beshevach, the Mishnah mentions, is that Avon Hayinu, the story of the political shift, or the spiritual shift of Mitchila, Oka, Zarei, Vaseinu. In between those two is where after the first answer of Anahinu, the Haggadah switches temporarily for a couple paragraphs into instructions, the how-to of Sipur Tzivos Mitzrayim, then goes back to the second answer and then proceeds with the content of the Maggid. At the very beginning of the instruction, one of the first rules we hear about is called Marber Ezeh Meshulach. The mitzvah applies even when the rei tamachach, you know plenty about CPTs. Right? That's the question of learning things you haven't yet. You don't yet know. And kol mavareis and meshulach. And whether you know a lot or not, but it's not just something that there may be a minimum shiur, but there's value to doing more. And then the Haggadah jumps into the story of the Maisa B'chamisha Zakenu, Lezri B'shua, and so on and so forth, or Mesubim Ibn Ebrak, presumably as a Maisa Rav, the story that demonstrates those two points. Number one, these were Gidolei Hadar, Gidolei Hatanan, Lezri B'shua, these were Gidolei Hadar. Rabbi Gamliel is missing. But other than Rabbi Gamliel, perhaps he was off in Rome negotiating with the government, or he was elsewhere. Maybe he was in hiding. But the rest of that list, those are the Gedolei Hadar, Rabbi Shua, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Kiva, and so forth. And not only do you see they're all sitting around involved CPC Yisrael, they're all sitting around involved CPC Yisrael until Tamim come knocking and say, time's up, it's time to daven Shacharis, CPC, the Zaman of CPC Yisrael is done. The Gizman Kriyash Moshal Shacharis. Obviously proving both points. Vilkon HaChachamim and Kol Marbe Reza Meshuvah. So some have raised the question that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daflam Beis, and Beis is talking about the Pasuk of Tzedek Tirdo, a very beautiful Pasuk, but a Pasuk the Gemara points out needs some explanation. What exactly does it mean to pursue righteousness? It should be Rodef Achar Tzedek. And specifically, why does it say twice? Tzedek Tirdo. Sounds like the Chumash is driving at something. What's the Chumash telling us? So the Gemara is a series of Midrashim and different interpretations of what's the message of Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdo. It may have to do with the right of way, and the need to establish rules of right of way. Does a car and a bus come to the same intersection? Which one gets to go first? The Gemara talks about that. The Gemara talks about boats. It's the same idea. And the Gemara says, still on the base of the Sanhedrin, another meaning of Tzedek, Tzedek, Tirdo is to seek out an ideal Beis Din. You should seek out a high-level, highly qualified, highly competent, based in of sterling integrity, go to this town for Rabbi Eliezer's based in, go to that town for Rabbi Yeshua's based in. Then the Gemara goes on to say, based in and yeshiva. It sounds as though the Gemara is saying, even for learning, should seek out the ideal. The Gemara says, maybe you'll go to Baruch Hayel for Yochum and Zakai. Maybe you'll go to this town for this, you'll go to Pekin for Rabbi Yeshua. And the question is, you go to Bnei Brak, for whom? For Rabbi Akiva. He was the Rav of Bnei Brak. But that raises a question in this Masa. Because in this Masa, that Bnei Brak is where the Seder happens. Obviously, it's after the Korban Bayis. which is why they're not Yerushalayim, even Karim Pesach. And anyway, knowing that all these people are together, it sounds like it's after the Chorban Bayis, particularly with Rabbi Akiva in the mix. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Yeshua were Talmidei Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Right? So they were on the young side at the time of Chorban. They're the ones who smuggled Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who was a Nasi at the time, out of Yerushalayim to have his, the Gemara Gittin tells us the story, to have his interview with Vespasian during the siege before the fall, the sack of Yerushalayim, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. So, looking at the list, Yochanan ben Zakkai, presumably, has already passed away. Lezer, Yeshua, these are the Gedolei Hador, those are the first two that appear. This is clearly this next generation. This is already, we're in Yavne or beyond Yavne. This is Achav Chorban Bayis, and that's why it's not Yerushalayim. But why are they in B'nai Brak? Here's the strange thing, is Rebbe Kiva was their Talmud. That's why he appears closer to the end of the list. He was a Talmud of Lezer Yeshua. He later became a Talmud Chaver, and he became sort of a quasi-peer of his Rebbe. He came to Yeshiva, he may have been the same age as them, potentially. Remember, he came to Yeshiva when he was older, the Gemara tells us, and he was a Baal Tshuva as an adult. So only after the age of 40 he really comes to Yeshiva and begins to learn. But Lamasa, he's a Talmud. So no one is b'chol interesting, professionally speaking. It's fascinating to see Rabbanim going away for Pesach. Pesach program. Shul Rabbanim went to Pesach program. At least four of them left their communities for the Seder. And they're coming to Rebbe Kiva. So that's already, okay, in our frame of mind, it's like, how could the Rebbe wait for Pesach? That's not obviously really a kasher. Rabbanus was probably somewhat different 2,000 years ago, 1,900 years ago. But what is a kasher is, why the old coming to Rebbe Kiva? You would think you want to go to your Rebbe for Pesach Seder. So that's true. Parents and children, there comes a point when parents get older and children get older, and sometimes in many families comes a point where there's a switch. Instead of the children going to the parents begin to come to obviously married children. But that's probably not what's going on here. Let's talk about Pshat. Why are they going to Rebbe Kiva? There is an idea that we may have shared part of in the past. The Rav developed, I think, over the course of several different drushes. And you put the pieces together, he pointed out that they were probably coming to Rebbe Kiva to learn something specific. There's a very famous, the most famous Haggadah in Shas, perhaps. Certainly the Haggadah that we have that's coming up soon, Yom Diyema, at Minig in many shuls across Klal Yisrael, is an Erev Pesach morning. You say over Makas of Kavdal and Beis, because it's the most common Siyam Masechta. The Haggadah there, the very end of Masechta's Makas, tells the famous story. Rebbe Kiva is walking with these other Tanaim, plus Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Lulu, Rabbi Yeshua, Rabbi Kiva, and some others. They're walking together and they see different things. The last story is the most famous one because it's the last story. They're walking, they're traveling to Yerushalayim. Remember, this is certainly after the Chorban Bayis. This may even have to work out the timing. This may even have been after, I have to figure out whether it's before or after the fall of Bar Kokhba. Fall of Bar Kokhba is close to 70 years after the Chorban Bayis. That's why Rabbi Kiva had thought that Bar Kokhba was Mashiach. He thought that Rabbi Kiva had held, as the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, the last parak, he held that Nevuas Yirmiyahu, that it'll be Oda Shiv Mishana, that 70 years until the next, until the Geula was not, he held, it wasn't only true for the destruction of the first base, and make sure Rabbi Kiva was true for the destruction of the second base, and make sure also. So he thought in the 130s, the rise of Bar Kokhba, he thought that he was Mashiach. So you gotta figure out what this story is happening before or after. After, it's important to recognize that after the fall of Bar Kokhba, the Romans, which required a totally disproportionate amount of Roman military firepower, they called in several whole legions, which are the largest unit of the Roman army, to put down the Bar Kokhba revolt. And given the size of Bar Kokhba's group, very relatively small, it's a really remarkable thing. Rabbi Yehuda Lambi has pointed out that there's a one entire legion, I think the 14th legion, that never appears again in the annals of the Roman army. They're not going to say the Farish, our entire legion went down, but Michalal, Shtika Kohada is clear. The Bar Kokhba revolt came close to being very, very successful. And it could have been, yes, Mashiach. Lamasa, it was not. Could have been, should have been, or not. Lamaisa didn't happen. But after putting down the Bakakva uprising, it's important to understand for this and for many stories in Chazal that there was a shift in Roman policy towards colonization of Eretz Yehuda, colonization of Eretz Israel, of the Jewish colony. Because up until that point, for after the Churban Bayis, they've taken their standard approach to colonization, which loosely speaking was knock down a few temples, introduce a few new temples, sort of make a couple of cosmetic changes and assimilate the people into sort of pan-Roman culture. And that had worked with relative success in many, many colonizations. It didn't work. They saw it clearly. The usual approach clearly had not worked with the Jews. So they realized there's some X factor that they hadn't been taking into account. And they realized correctly, it seems like they realized correctly that the X factor was Tar Mitzvahs. And which is why the Hadrianic persecution that follows the Bar Kokhba revolt in the latter half of the second century, the late 100s, in simple English, that's when you have incredible attacks on Torah mitzvahs. The stories you hear about Sarugi and Malchus, like Rabbi Kiva's killed, Chaim Trajan is killed, many of those people are killed during the years that followed the Bar Kokhba revolt. Rabbi Kiva was the Rav then. And he had been the sponsor, as it were, rabbinic sponsor of Bar Kokhba's revolt. And it was after that they realized they can't just take the usual approach of colonizing, they need to go after Torah mitzvahs. And that's when they begin to make all the Gzeirat Shmad against teaching Torah v'Rabim, against keeping mitzvahs, against Mila and Lulav, and the Gemaras and Midrash and Chazal are full of the stories of Jews being killed for keeping mitzvahs. Rabbi Kiva is killed for teaching Torah v'Rabim, and Tradyan is killed in an incredibly painful way. He was wrapped in Sefer Torah. They put the wet cotton around his chest to make him die more slowly. All those stories. As a matter of fact, the Gemara end of Maseches Yuma in the discussion about Kuf Nefesh, some of those discussions are clear. Like the Shaila is being asked at that time. This was the big discussion to figure out Kuf Nefesh or Agla Yava. These are burning issues. This is what was happening again and again and again. To figure out what are the rules? Shas HaShmad, which mitzvahs? All mitzvahs, some mitzvahs. So that's what's happening. That's the earlier days of Rabbi Akiva and the later days of Rabbi Akiva. Before the Kapha revolt, they had some more freedom. They had no Beis HaMikdash, but there was a lot more freedom to be openly Jewish, to keep Torah mitzvahs openly, to teach Torah openly. After the fall of Bar Kokhba, until the days of Rabbi Hanasi, it was incredibly difficult, incredibly painful, incredibly tragic, and they put the squeeze on the Torah mitzvahs up until the days of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, and that's what was remarkable that Hanasi's time with Antoninus was the sort of this bubble of breathing space in Eretz Israel, when in Eretz Israel they were able to teach Torah Rabbim and put together, assemble the Tanan again in a way that they could put together Mishnah. So now we come back to our story. So Rabbi Kiva is walking with some of his chaverim. They're walking up to Har HaBayis, and they hear Higilu Tzofim, and they tear Kriya, and then they come close and they see a fox walking out what had been the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And you know the story, right? All the Tanaim start to cry, and Rabbi Kiva misachet. That means he's smiling. And then laughing, that means he was smiling. And they say to him, well, why are you smiling? Well, why are you crying? He said, well, why are you crying? Horrific. Such a sea churban in such a palpable way. Animals are walking around. This used to be this place where only Kohen Gadol, the only holiest man, the holiest day of the year. Now, animals are walking around. He says, that's exactly why I'm excited. Why? Famous Gemara. And he says, now that I see the Nevuah, the negative Nevuah of Zechariah being fulfilled, I assume what the Gemara probably means is that he's still being fulfilled literally. It wasn't just an expression, Shualim Hilchubo. I see, it means Mamish, literally, Shualim Hilchubo. Literally, there are foxes. That's the way of saying there'll be terrible desolation. And that gives me renewed hope that the Nevuah of Uriah, which appears in Micha, that Nevi Nevuah, so then that gives me hope about the Nevuah of Zechariah. Again, presuming the Nevuah of Zechariah also is not just. The positive of Zechariah is not just idiomatic, metaphorical, it's meant literally. In fact, we have seen it in our days. that the nevuah that Rabbi Akiva was just hoping for, was trying to imagine what it would look like. Oh, Yeshua's came to Skanis Bakovis Yerushalayim. When the common day when the old people sit around Yerushalayim and the little kids are running around playing in the streets, there is, if I think of that invention or the year, you know where to go in the old city. There's an off the beaten track playground that their old city residents use, and there are their benches, and there's a rechava where the kids play, their benches, the old people sit, and they carved into the stone, right in those benches. Says in the Nevuah of the Chayav Parsha, it makes your hair sticky, it makes you cry. Tears of joy, right? We get to see, Rekiva was using the Shul and Hilfe boat to imagine it. We, Mamish, get to see. Yeshua's Canaan was the Canaan's. Mamish. All happening there. The old people and the young people, amazing. And that's not the only time that Rekiva had this eye to be able to tease out the silver lining with an optimistic eye. There are at least two other major expressions of that. One is the fact that the Gemara Yavama tells a story, that there is 24,000 Talmidim go down, and the Kula Mesubin during Sfira Sa'onar, and what does he do? 5 more Talmidim. You have to imagine, we take that for granted, try to imagine what that means. 24, the biggest yeshiva in world history, 24,000 Talmidim. All gone. He's an old man. He had done it all. He had become Bal Tshuva at age 40, and he became a Talmud Chacham, and he became Gadol Adar. He became one of the greatest Talmud Chacham of all time. When the Gemara describes HaKadosh Baruch Hu showing Moshe Rabbeinu what Limud Torah would look like in the future. So whether that Gemara is meant literally or not, whether HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually showed Moshe Rabbeinu a virtual reality, so to speak, of what Rabbi Akiva's share was like, or that's the Gemara's way of conveying an idea. But either way, the fact that Rabbi Akiva, either Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Rabbi Akiva to show with Moshe Rabbeinu, or the Gemara Chazal chose Rabbi Akiva as a way of expressing that Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu something about Torah of the future. But it's not for naught that Rabbi Akiva is the one that Moshe Rabbeinu has described as seeing. He's it. One of the greatest figures in 3,000+ years of Mesirat HaTorah. And the biggest yeshiva in the world. And he's an old man. And they're all dead. No one would have faulted him for retirement. And what does Itaka do? 5 Talmidim. The bloggers, as if it was before, people have always blogged. It's just a question of whether you do it online or by word of mouth. Right? You can't imagine, like Sani Hadar, to use the term that Chazal had, the cynics and the satirists probably had a field day with Rabbi Akiva. Oh, the old man, he thinks he's going to start again. What type of ridiculous 5 Talmidim? What is that? He should just time for him to retire. One could imagine a cynic saying, he's past his prime, it's time for him to just retire. He doesn't realize that he lost his touch, and nothing could be further from the truth. The 24,000 Talmidim, I think I've discussed this in the past, 24,000, we know not a single word of Torah from any of them. We don't even know any of their names. No idea. That's a remarkable thing. You know anything about Talmidei Rabbi Akiva? We know a lot about the second set, just 5 Talmidim, but as Rav Dordek from the time of Mishnah Sedura, 80% of name statements in Mishnah has come from his 5 Talmidim. Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, those four are 80% of name statements in Mishnah. That's not just the backbone that Gemara tells us elsewhere. Those Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, they were responsible for all the major works of Talmud Shabbat. The Tosefta and the Mishnayos and the number of the Mishnah Halacha, Mamish, everything. It would have been so easy to give up. Just say, I'm done. Retired. They said, no, we can do it again. And it looked like he was failing. And he was successful beyond his wildest dreams. And the truth is, it says the Rav spoke about this, that story, Rabbi Akiva, in the context of the Medrash of Kadosh Baruch Hu was born alone with Machriva. What's the Pshat of Kadosh Baruch Hu was born alone with Machriva? Rabbi Abba and the Bereshis Rabbah says they would destroy. Kadosh Baruch Hu built the world and then built again and built again. Built and destroyed and built and destroyed, but Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need trial and error. What Rabbi suggested is the point is it's a limud for us. Kadosh Baruch Hu dishichta biatzmo, he describes his own divine reality in human terms, specifically in terms of not so much just bonal mazmachrivan, the willingness to scrap what you worked on, but the willingness to do it again. the Shefli Yibutzalak Vakam. Bono was Rechivan, and then Bono again. And that was Rebbe Akiva. That was and that, where Rebbe Akiva saw Harabayas, that's where Rebbe Akiva lived the Gemara Yivamot with a new set of Talmidim. And that, the Rav suggested, and I think there are other Rav suggest also, is why the Dafka came to Rebbe Akiva. In Mamash, those two words of the story, not just two words, Bivnei Brak, those two words that tell you Mamash, I'll paint the whole picture. Are you going to have a Seder? Either the story is happening soon after the Churban Bayis, possibly it's happening after the fall of Bar Kokhba. To figure out historically in terms of who's alive when. But again, we take for granted we have a Seder of here without a Karm Pesach. But it's really, you take a look at Rambam, the last paragraph of Chametz Matzah, Parakhes, where he goes through the Seder. The Karm Pesach is the centerpiece of the whole Lilel Seder. That's what everything else surrounds the Karm Pesach. To have a Seder without Karm Pesach, a Seder without Pesach Mikdash, to have a Seder in Golos, you celebrate Yitzias Mitzrayim Geula in the midst of Golos, in the midst of Churban. How are you going to get excited? We can do the mitzvahs. Not a question like how you do the Maise Mitzvah, but how are you going to feel that? Avodah the Kashish of a Mikdash, for sure, the most difficult part, many have pointed out, the difficult Mitzvah Leila Seder is not eating all the matzah, the Heseba, Toch, Kdechilos Pras. We'll talk as Pesach gets closer what Kdechilos Pras actually is. It's not 10 seconds. It's a little bit more than 10 seconds. And how big a Kazai is that? The hardest part of the Seder is Chayiv Adam Liras Az Atzma, Kiyos Az Mishim Mitzrayim. To visualize, to imagine, to feel myself relive, re experience Yitzhak Mitzrayim, that's tough. Especially in the shadows of Churban, there happens to be gorgeous maybe the wrong word. There's a very profoundly emotionally touching artifact from the Holocaust. We found a tefillah, the Yiratzin, that Jews had written for their Seder, for Leil HaSeder. I think it was in Bergen-Belsen, I'm not sure. He writes where they say this is a place and a year where they had not been able to put together. There were Jews who were most nefesh to try to put together matzah. Didn't always work. They get their hands on enough flour to make matzah. They're paying for shilas. They have a little matzah. Who do you give it to? You give it to the adults, you give it to the children. This was a place and a year where they were not able to put together matzah. And they had a Yiratzin that they wrote about eating chametz. Amazing. They say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you were mitzavah to eat matzah, and right now, your mitzavah is to eat chametz, we're going to eat chametz because of the pasuk, Nishmat Mevul Nafshei Sechem, Hinu Bezeh, to eat chametz on Pesach as a kiyum of Ritzon Hashem, because you want us to stay alive, we have no matzah, and it's incredibly, they say like, they're grappling with, I eat chametz on Pesach, but that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us, we're going to do it in Shem Shemayim. Gives us a little bit. So we have a little more of a shaykhus to help us. It was less than a century ago. Try to imagine, after the Churban Bayis, to have a Seder, Yitzias Mitzrayim. It seemed so undoable. I mean, you could do the Maaseh Mitzvah, how are you going to celebrate? Chayav on Liras Az Atzmo, be Sameach. We live so far from Churban Bayis, we feel like we're closer to the Binyan. We look forward to the Binyan. We take it for granted, you know, basically. But at the door, it was incredibly difficult. So who did they go to? The Mesum was very proud. They went to Kanebuk. That's where they had to go. They went to Rebbe Akiva. Those two words tell a whole story. And then there are those who even suggest that part of the story, this story is also, there's a larger poetic imagery. And they were there until Talmidim come and say, Rebbe Akiva, he gives my Kriyash Mashal Shachas. Gemara and Tosus and Brachas that Yibbeis of Nalech relate Kriyash Mashal Shachar Shal Arvis and Emes Yatsi versus Emes Vemuna to a Hagar Baruch Hasdecha and Rasa Valeos. The times of life which are dark, times of one's life that are morning. And when things are dark, so it's Emuna. By Leos, you have to be, we believe that Kaddish Baruch Hu is going to take care of us even though we don't see it right now. Kaddish Baruch Hu is taking care of us, he will take care of us. But the times of one's life that are daytime, they're both there, when things are clear, they talk about chesed. That's what some suggest, on their drash, in other words, they're the Sulu Zeirach, they're with the Rebbe Akiva, In the Safra, you see the Chayim call also Halayla, throughout the period of darkness, they were chazrin over again and again. You see, HaKadosh Baruch took care of us in Mitzrayim, and then it was also very dark for a long time. And yet HaKadosh Baruch worked everything out. And Shagir, Tamidei Baruch, until the time, they kept handling, and kept reviewing these ideas until there was such clarity, they used my Kirish Rosh Hashachas. We came to the point of Kirish Rosh Hashachas. It came to the point we've moved from the Noscha Barlelos to Lahagir Aboker Chazdecha. And that's it. And they accomplished what they needed to accomplish. The Chizuk and the Muna. There are stories. The stories told by individual people who chazered Shar Bitachan and Chos Alavus again and again and again. So tell the story of one of the great Bali Musar. I think it was Alter Kel, who was always on time. One of the hallmarks of Kelm, everything was always Masudar, they were always dressed well, things were presented properly, and they were always punctual. Things were always thought out, always punctual. I believe it's Alter Kelm who came around an hour late to his son's Leviathan. Chamal son, who lost a child, a good teenager, 18, 19 years old, and came an hour late to Leviathan. So people are shocked. Of all people, not an Achik, they don't try to fight. Of all people, the Alter Kelm, I believe it's Alter Kelm. It's always punctual to everything. How do you come like your own child's wife? So someone asked him, I'm not sure exactly. Somehow, the explanation came from at some point. He shared that what had happened, when it says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to be able to tear Kriya. A person's Aval tears Kriya. And Aval to tear Kriya and to say the Bracha Baruch Dayana Emes with a degree of Simcha. The Kabbalah. I'm accepting these things. I don't understand why. But I know Gersh Baruch Hu has this, you know, is doing that which is best for me. And he said, I couldn't. I couldn't feel that. I wasn't able to feel that. So he was working on it for an hour. He was working on it. I believe part of the stuff is that he has a Shara B'tachem again and again and again. For like a scrub, you know, closet himself in a room and has a Shara B'tachem again and again and again until it sank in. So that's what these, that's Alderach Drash, that's what's happening in the Seder. That they were Mesafim Tiyasanko also Halaylo. They were, again, this obviously before Shara B'tachem was written, but they were chazering that. They were chazering Tzias Mitzrayim. They were chazering less than Tzias Mitzrayim again and again and again until it sank in. It was hard. It wasn't easy. Chazering B'tachem could be difficult. They would work on it again until they got to the point that he gives them even felt he gives my Kriyash Mishal Shachas. Now we're at a place of a mourning type of Kriyash of Ha'ago Chazdecham, and they had accomplished their mission. So it speaks to, and this is an important hakdama to the Seder. Now, this is the opening story of the Seder. This is a reminder of what a Seder could accomplish. Not just to go through to read the Maggid and, you know, and eat the matzah and move on. No, this Maggid is incredible. We're not Rabbi Akiva or Yishma or Blazer Yeshua, but a Jew Maggid can grow from a real intellectual and emotional engagement with the CPCS time. That's what it's meant to do. Yeah.
It's not, so really I don't understand.
Okay. Looking forward.